I hope everybody has the handout. It says, Mysteries of the Bible, Part 1, The Mystery of the Gospel. Now, this sounds sort of mysterious when you say mysteries. We realize that mysteries in the Word of God are things that were not known or understood in the past. That's basically what it is. In fact, we've got a little blank there that says, Mystery, a truth that was not made known in the past but has now been revealed. We're looking for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at what the Bible calls mysteries. It's areas that really, if you hadn't had revelation from God, that we'd not be able to understand it. That's what a mystery is. We find that many of the mysteries were explained and revealed to us, given by the Apostle Paul. So a lot of the things that we'll look at will be in Paul's writings. This morning, we begin seeing the mysteries of the Bible, and the first one is the mystery of the gospel. So we'll see how that goes together, and I think we'll have a lot of fun. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for Jesus Christ and eternal life. And Lord, we thank you that in your grace and your mercy and your love, you sent your Son to die for us. And Lord, we realize that we sinned and come short of your glory, and we owed you death, and we were going to be separated. And Jesus came and took our place. He took our sin upon himself and paid the penalty. And he died and was buried, and he rose again, conquering death and giving life. And Lord, we're thankful that anyone who believes in Christ has eternal life. And we know, Lord, you offer to us the gift of eternal life, which comes simply by faith. Lord, we ask you that as we look into your word today, especially when we think about the mystery of the gospel, what exactly does that mean? What's it about? And what is the mystery there? Help us, Lord, as we study it today, and just to be excited about the truths that you have given us from your word. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you don't understand something, it just is confusing. There was a man by the name of Ding Zhang Yu, which he lived in China, and he came to the United States, and he saw his first football game, and he saw Pacific Lutheran play Evangelical College in a spring football game. And of course, he was sitting in the stands, and they said, we want you to go to a football game. We want you to see what it's like. And he was watching it, and he said it was a mystery. He said it was really chaotic. Everybody grabbed everybody and just fell down. And that's what he said when he saw it, because he didn't understand it. And that's what happens sometimes. Something's a mystery to us until we begin to understand it. Sometimes it's true in the Bible. There are things that look like mysteries. I always say, gosh, I don't understand that. And then when it gets put together, you go, wait a minute, I see how that fits. There are certain things in the Bible, certain truths in the Bible, that the Bible actually calls a mystery. Things that were not known or understood until God gave more revelation. So a mystery, and I think I've got a hint, a mystery is something that had not been revealed in the past, but now being made known. So technically, is a mystery is something that if you studied basically the Old Testament, it would be something that was not known then, some information that had not been given, and then God revealed it. And so a mystery is a truth that was not made known in the past, but has now been revealed. You hear people say things like the Old Testament is explained by the New Testament, or the New Testament is contained in the Old Testament, they all come together. And what we're going to find about mysteries, there are going to be 7 or 8 places that we'll go in these weeks, and we're going to see that the Bible actually calls this like the mystery of the gospel. What's the mystery? Because the gospel itself is not a mystery, because the message was that there was a Messiah coming who's going to pay for sin. So what's the mystery of the gospel? And we'll see it as we look at it. As we continue, of course, realize that God continued to give revelation. Now, I notice I said continue because it passed. From the time that he began giving revelation until the completion of the New Testament, we have what is known as progressive revelation. In the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at some of these mysteries which by God's progressive revelation, we're able to understand them. Now, progressive revelation just means revelation that continued. God did not give all of his word at one time. Now, you think about it. The Old Testament was written over a time period of about 1,500 years. Old Testament was. The very first books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, was written by Moses in about 1,500 years before Christ. So the first written revelation came 1,500 years before Christ. And then over a period of time, over that 1,500 years, more and more revelation came and ended up being what we'd call the Old Testament. New Testament was in the same way. The New Testament letters, the very first one was written in about 45. It was the book of James. 50 years later, in 95, the last book of the New Testament was written, which is the book of Revelation. So in a 50-year time period, we had put together, God gave what we call the revelation of the New Testament. And there are truths and things in the Bible that he progressively gives information. Didn't tell everything at one time. Let's think about it for a second. I've got an example for you. The Messiah. Adam and Eve were told. They were in the garden. They fell. God made a promise to them. He said, the seed, there's going to be a Savior. There's going to be one who is going to crush the head of the serpent. And he said, the seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent. Right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, is the story that a Messiah is coming. But that's all he told them then. As time went by, he gave progressive revelation. Later he said that he chose the man by the name of Abraham, and told him that through him, Abram, all the nations of the world be blessed. So he gave a little bit more information. Then the same thing was told to Isaac, which is Abraham's son, and then to Jacob, and then on down to a man named Judah. And then there came a guy by the name of David, and he actually told David that his son, that through him would be the Messiah coming through David, and then through his son Solomon. And then even Daniel was told the year that the Messiah would die. And it's hard to you'd understand that if you've never studied the book of Daniel, but in Daniel 9, chapter 24 through 20, chapter 9, 20 verses 24 through 27, God actually tells them that from a decree, from the time of a decree until the Messiah's death will be 483 years. Daniel knew that. He didn't know a whole lot about it, but so Revelation continued to get more and more and more. And then you get to the New Testament, and you have this young girl named Mary who's told that she's going to have the Messiah, the Savior, and Joseph's told the same thing. Then the baby is born, and then we got more revelation. And then finally you read the book of Galatians, which we're studying on Wednesday night, and Paul actually says that Jesus of Nazareth is the seed of woman. Progressive revelation. Didn't come all at one time. Came over a long period of time. Progressive revelation.
Maybe.
Yes.
What?
Which one now?
Where they told about the seed of Jesus.
Oh, it was in Galatians chapter 3, but I don't remember the exact verse. But it's we've been seeing it on Wednesday nights where he said that seed is Christ. Progressive revelation. Let me give you another one. How about the kingdom? Do you realize at the very beginning God's plan was that Adam and Eve would rule with him? He said, be fruitful and multiply and rule over the earth. Man was supposed to rule, co-rule in a sense with God over the earth. That's a kingdom. But they fell. And so God says, my plan is that I will restore the kingdom. I will restore the time in which man rules with me. But he didn't give all the information at one time. And he came and he told Abraham that there would be a nation of people coming through him which would rule. And then David was told that he was going to be the king and that David would have a greater son that would be the king. And then there's some information in the book of Revelation that actually says there's going to come a time in which people will rule with Jesus Christ on the earth for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20. And then it goes on a little bit later and talks about an eternal kingdom that goes on and on and on. So as you study the Bible, he gave more and more revelation. And so there is progressive revelation in the Scripture. If you want to turn to the next page, what we're going to find out is these mysteries is something not revealed in the past, but now made known. Look at Ephesians, and just go ahead and look at Ephesians chapter 3 for just a second. I want you to see the verse that explains what a mystery is. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 tell us what a biblical mystery is. Now, sometimes when we put down what we're going to study mysteries of the Bible, maybe people thought there were going to be some kind of things that nobody ever knew about, or just subjective things like, well, when was this? We talked about studying mysteries of the Bible. We're talking about what the Bible calls mysteries. Notice this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. And then he goes on and says, now what is a mystery? Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. A mystery was something that had not been revealed in the past, but is now made known. I've got for you, I think the next one is mysterion, is the Greek word for mystery. We transliterated it basically into English, and it's something profound for human beings. It's that something that man would not be able to understand unless God revealed it. So there are things in the Bible that he has revealed to us. There are things in the past that he didn't reveal, and then later on in progressive revelation, he reveals it to us, and we go, wow, I'm glad to know that. There was no way we could have known it. Let me give you a quick example. What about the rapture? What exactly is the rapture? Anybody know what the rapture is? We're talking about the body of Christ, the church, when the church is taken off the face of the earth, when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, and the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, we who are alive and remain to be caught up together with them. That's the rapture, right? Was that talked about in the Old Testament? No such thing. Nobody even talked about it. First of all, the church was a mystery. We'll talk about that one too. That's one of the mysteries of the Bible. And so if you studied the Old Testament and you looked for the rapture in which Jesus comes in the clouds and believers are taken off the face of the earth, you will never find it. It is not there. If you'd have gone to Daniel and said, "Hey, Daniel, tell me about the rapture." And he'd go, "What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. No such thing. That was the mystery. And now been revealed." So that's what we're talking about. A mystery is something that, a mysterion thing, was that we wouldn't have been able to understand it or be able to put it together unless God has revealed it. So there's some great things. Now, I want to show you something. If you would, just slowly turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to show you something about mysteries. Because you could say, okay, so while we studying this stuff, some of these mysteries, you already know them. They're not mysteries to you because you've already studied them. But I want to show you how the Bible calls them. But let me show you something that's pretty incredible. A famous verse that we all know is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, brethren, it is required of stewards to be what? Found what? Anybody know? Faithful or trustworthy. Everybody knows that verse. But most people don't know the verse before it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let a man regard us in this manner, let people look at us this way, as servants of Christ and stewards," which means we wisely use what? Stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, you got to know the mysteries. You've got to be able to handle the mysteries. You've got to be able to tell other people about the mysteries. You've got to be a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. So that's one reason I wanted us to do this study, because we need to know these eight things I've got listed for you here. There's other ways to put them together. I'm going to show you even this morning how you can put some things together in a little different way. But we're going to know those because we need to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Things that had not been revealed in the past, but have now been made known. So we'll see that. Let me give you the list. Let's look at some of them. I've got some of them written down there, but some here. The first one is called the mystery of the gospel, or the mystery of Christ. You might even put it this way, the mystery that Jesus is the Christ. That's dealing with the gospel. We'll see that. Got a lot of verses. We'll go to some different places this morning. That's the first one we're going to look at. The second one is the mystery of Christ as God. Did you know that it was a mystery put together that this Messiah, Christ, is actually the same as God? We'll see that one. Look at number three. Number three is the mystery of Christ indwelling. Did you know that Christ, that it was never told anywhere that the Messiah is going to live inside people? But that was a mystery that had been made known. The mystery of the church, Jew and Gentile, Ephesians 3. We've been studying Ephesians, of course, on Sunday night. We've already passed chapter 3. But we remember studying that, how it talked about that God had this mystery that he was going to take Jew and Gentile and bring them together in one body. That was a mystery that had never been told before. The fifth one is the mystery of the church is the bride of Christ. You know, in Ephesians 5, when he talks about the role of the husband, the role of the wives, he says, let the husband do this and the wife do this. And he goes on to say, now, the husband is really a picture of Christ and the wife is a picture of the church. And he goes on and says all these things. He says, so husbands do this and this. But this is a great mystery. And I speak of Christ and the church. It was a mystery. The mystery of the church is the bride of Christ. Six, the mystery of the rapture. I just mentioned that a while ago. You're not going to find anywhere in the Old Testament that it talked about that Jesus Christ would come in the clouds and take believers off the face of the earth. Now, you know it. You say, oh, I know that. That wasn't not a mystery to me, but it was a mystery. Then number seven, the mystery of iniquity. This is a little bit harder. Because this is when we get to this one, this is one that we're going to say, okay, what does this really mean? Is the mystery of iniquity a person? Is the mystery of iniquity a time? We'll see. And then the mystery of Israel's blindness. Now, we studied that when we did the book of Romans, if you can remember that far back. Yes, because it took us about almost 2 years to go through the book of Romans, verse by verse, passage by passage. And in Romans 11:25, he talks about the mystery of Israel's blindness. It was a mystery that Israel would miss the Messiah. And we'll see that one too. So there's a lot of different things we're going to look at as we go through this study. And of course, as we go through it, you know, questions, input, anything you want to do, you just stop me and we'll look at them. Well, let's start with the first one. We'll call it the mystery of the gospel. That's on the top of that next page. I've got for you there, it says God would send a Savior Messiah was not a mystery. I mean, from the very beginning of Genesis, God said, I'm going to send a Savior Messiah. What was the mystery? The mystery was, who is the Christ? That's what not what was revealed. It wasn't revealed who he is or who he was would be one way we might say it. So we'll look at it as we go through it. The gospel, the good news about the Messiah. We'll see in the Old Testament was revealed that God would send a Messiah, a Savior, the anointed one, to die and pay for the sins of mankind. And that to come to God, you always had to come to God by faith. There's no other way. But what's the mystery? What was not revealed? Well, what was not revealed is who exactly is this Messiah? Who is the Christ? Paul talks about that Jesus is the Christ and the Messiah. He was the promised one. So, I mean, we could stop right there and say the very first mystery is that Jesus was revealed to be the Messiah, the Savior. Because it could be the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah, the seed of David, all that seed. And yet, who was that person? That's the key. Well, the mystery was it was Jesus of Nazareth. When Paul went, his message was that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 6, which is a place that I wanted you to originally begin. And I want you to see this point right here. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verses 19 and 20. Well, let me start back at verse 18. I hope everybody's back there. But it says this, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and patience of all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance, that the words will be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, make known with boldness the mystery, here it is, the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclamation I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul says, pray for me that God would give me the right words so I would speak with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So in your first blank there is the mystery of the gospel. He said, I've got to speak the mystery of the gospel. What is the mystery? Because we all know, what is the gospel? What is the good news? That the Messiah would do what? Die and rise again. That's the gospel. That's not a mystery. We're going to see in just a minute in the Old Testament, they knew that the Messiah would die and rise again. So what's the mystery of the gospel? The mystery of the gospel is, who is this Messiah who's going to die and rise again? That's really the key. He's asking the people in Ephesus, please pray for me that I may be able to give this out. 2 Corinthians 5:20 talked about being an ambassador. He's an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see this because this puts it together. Look at Acts 9. Just flip over there. I know sometimes in studies like this, you've got to turn in a lot of places. I want you to see that Acts 9, look at verse 22, because this is where he tells it. But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this Jesus, this one, is the Christ, the one that he'd been talking about, because he'd been talking about the Son of God, he'd been talking about Jesus, he'd been talking about that. So then he throws it open that he was telling them, proving them, Paul wanted to show that Jesus is the Christ. That's the key. See, the mystery was, who is the Christ? Who is the Messiah? Who is the Savior? Who is the seed of woman? Who is the seed of Abraham? Who is the seed of David? Paul said, it is Jesus. Let me tell you something. I mentioned in the first service that on campus there's that group called the Interfaith Council, which used to be the AUM. And I can go in there, and everybody in there will use the word God. And nobody gets mad. Now, one word that you can say, God, I love God. God's good. Let's pray about God. Let's talk to God. And they'll say it like, each one of your own faith ways, you may talk to your higher being or your God. But let me tell you what will make a whole bunch of them really mad. Say what name? Jesus. I told you that a lady from one of the groups stood up and said, I would like to ask many of you in this room, please do not use the name Jesus because it offends me. See, the key is not just saying God and not even just saying the Christ. The key is that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we might be saved except the name Jesus. He's the Savior. And so Paul says, I want you to know that Jesus is the Savior. Now, let's talk about the gospel. I've got it sort of at the bottom of the page there for you. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, you could just write down, Christ died and rose again. There's no doubt about that. That's the gospel. But let me tell you something to you. Now, that was no secret. There was no mystery that the Messiah would die and rise again. Does anybody know, and if you've had my 412 class or the 2-2 class or something, you should know this. Where in the Old Testament did it say that the Messiah would die for the sins of mankind? What is it? Isaiah 53. Where is it in the Old Testament that it said the Messiah would rise from the grave? Psalm 16:10. There was no mystery. In the Old Testament, there was no mystery that the Messiah would die for the sins of mankind, Isaiah 53, that the Messiah would rise from the grave, Psalm 16:10. That wasn't a mystery. But the mystery is that the Messiah is Jesus of Nazareth. Acts 17, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts 17:3, it says Paul was reasoning with them and giving an evidence to them that the Christ, the Messiah, had to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and this Jesus is the Christ. Write that down. Just Mark 17:3. That's the key. In 17:3, Paul said, it's no secret that the Messiah was going to die and rise again, but the key is the Messiah who died and rose again is Jesus. That's the mystery. Let me tell you, progressive revelation. If you'd have said to Adam and Eve, who is the seed of woman? What would they have said? Cain. Because we got the boy. We got him. And he was a boy. And we said, there's the seed of woman. Wasn't him. If you said to Abraham, who is going to be the seed of Abraham who's going to be the Messiah? And he might say, well, I've got a promised son named Laughter, Isaac, but it wasn't him. And Isaac was told, and he said, well, okay, it's who? Jacob. And when Jacob was told, no, it's Judah. No, it wasn't Judah. Judah was told, it's David. And David said, well, no, it's not Solomon. I mean, and then, you know, it goes all the way up until finally it is Jesus. The progressive revelation and the mystery of the gospel is that Jesus is the Messiah who would die and rise again. That's the key. Now, I want to show you something that's neat, and you can turn to the next page, but let me read something to you from Ephesians. It talked about how God has brought all things and summed all things up in Christ. And then he says this in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, so he could redeem us. Now, Paul is saying God brought a son into this world. Once again, that's not a mystery. Isaiah, unto us the son is born, unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given. That's not a mystery. But the mystery is, who is it? It's Jesus. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Turn over there and I want you to see it. And then I want you to have plenty of time for questions, if there are any questions about this one. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You know, there's some pretty special verses that are 3:16, aren't there? In the Bible. I mean, there's John 3:16. And here's 1 Timothy 3:16. But look what it says. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He's saying, here's the godly mystery. And he's going to talk about the Christ. And look what he says. He was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. That's those six things. Let me give you each one. Here they are right here. I guess they're all up there at one time. They are at one time. Here are the six things you find from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, to tell us who this one is. He was revealed in the flesh. So if you want to write that down, you can in the block number one. He became a person. He was revealed in the flesh. People say who he was. The Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. So he was revealed in the flesh. Second, he was vindicated by the Spirit. Now the word vindicated really is the idea of pointed out. Pointed out. People could recognize who he was. The third thing is he was beheld by angels. And not just good angels. You know, the Bible tells us that the angels with God look down, actually use the word stoop down, to see all that God is doing through Christ, through Jesus. But it also tells us that the bad angels, every time they saw Jesus, what did they do? What did they do? They fell down before him and said, O Son of God, have you come to judge us before our time? Now, I want to throw this out because most of us know this. Do you know that there is no salvation for angels? There's none. Jesus Christ became a person so he could die for people. There's salvation for mankind. Jesus Christ did not become an angel to die for angels. That's why demonic angels, demonic forces, and demonic beings are going to be separated from God forever. The lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's why when demonic demons see Jesus, they fall down before him and say, "Son of God, have you come to what? Judge us, not save us." He didn't save the angels. He judged the angels. Proclaimed among the nations, he is. He's been proclaimed among the nations. The message of Jesus of Nazareth has been proclaimed to all, or proclaimed in the world, believed on in the world. That's how he puts it here, that people had believed by the time that Paul wrote 1 Timothy, of course. It was believed on, spread out through the known world, and then last but not least, taken up into glory. And he ascended into heaven. The mystery of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. In Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, you don't have to turn there just because of time, but the passage talks about the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's what it says, the preaching of Christ and Jesus. So the very first mystery, and it's not a deep mystery, and you already know this. If I would have said to you, who is the Messiah? Every one of you in this room would have said, Jesus is the Messiah. But when by you knowing that, you knew something that Adam and Eve didn't know, that Noah didn't know, that Abraham didn't know, that Isaac didn't know, that Jacob didn't know, that Judah didn't know, that David didn't know, that Solomon didn't know, that John the Baptist didn't know until the dove came down and stayed on Jesus and he went, that's the one. The disciples didn't know until John the Baptist said, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the churches and the people didn't know until Paul said, the Messiah is Jesus. There is no other name but you'd be saved. So the very first mystery that we're going to touch on. And next week we're going to put two mysteries together and then we'll get on some other ones. But the very first mystery that we want to think about is the mystery of the gospel. And that is that the Messiah, the Savior, who would die and rise again, who was the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, that is Jesus of Nazareth. Let me tell you why that's important. Because there are people who say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you just believe. I mean, you can believe anything. I heard a person say one time, said this. He said, it doesn't really matter if Jesus died and rose again. It just matters if you think he did. The only way it counts is that if Jesus of Nazareth died and rose again, paying for sins, and is the Messiah that had been promised to Adam and Eve and Abraham and David all the way through. The mystery of the gospel, it's not just anybody, and it's not just whatever you might think. It is the mystery of the gospel is that Jesus of Nazareth is the Savior. And that's the only way anybody could ever be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. That was the second bail, I think, right? Let me give you this real quickly. First application, just have an understanding of the different mysteries. Now, you'll understand them a lot of them you already know, but you're going to see them as we go through. Here's number two, is understand that the New Testament revelation clears up the mystery. Much of the mysteries that the Bible talks about are cleared up when God gives more revelation in the New Testament. Okay, you don't have to write down every word. Just understand that the New Testament is what clears up these mysteries. Number three is the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, is that Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who died and rose again paying for sin. That's the key. And then last but not least, may we be ready to share this good news message. And A is this. Do you know the gospel message? Who and what? See, it's not just believe. It's believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Why? Because he died and rose again, and he is the Savior. That's the gospel message. B, can you present the gospel? If you were to say to me, I'm not confident on sharing my faith, then you need to do something. You need to get in our 412, the 412 foundations. That's the first of the 412 studies that we offered the church. Take the 412 foundations, because in there it teaches you three different ways to share your faith. And if you say, I want to do it right now, I don't want to wait till the fall, I don't want to wait, you come see me. I'll spend 10 minutes with you in my office, and I'll show you two or three ways that you can share your faith, and you can be confident on how you can tell other people about Jesus Christ. Well, that's the first one, and the bell's rung. But any questions or comments, anything about the very first mystery of the gospel, and that is that Jesus is the Christ. Questions? Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the mysteries, the things that you had not revealed in the past but now made known. And Lord, the very first one is that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, is the Savior. Lord, it is no secret, it is no mystery that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to die and he was going to pay for sin and he was going to rise again, that he is going to be that. He was going to be the seed of woman and seed of Abraham and seed of David. But Lord, the mystery was that it was Jesus of Nazareth who is the Messiah, Savior. Thank you, Lord, that our faith is in Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.